city. Flickering dirty neon over alleys mean and dirty streets, while my neighborhood is torn down around me.
Hello, everybody, from your favorite nightclub at the end of the world. It is Sunday the 13th of October in the year 2013. This is Michael C. Rupert, Tracker of Truth, with you again. You got just me tonight. And tonight's show is especially for, I carved this out today and put it up on Facebook. This is for the people who have been walking the path with me and with others like us for a long period of time. I call them the fastest of the fast campers, the one who have good awareness, good awakening, who are spiritually sound and emotionally fit to prepared and prepared to whatever degree to deal with the realities that are now sitting in on this world. I'm not going to slow down. I'm not going to do a lot tonight, because tonight's a night when I really want to feed and give energy to those people who get it better than any other, the others, those who have been with us the longest time and who are most awake. And we're going to take you on a journey tonight. You're welcome to come along. I ask you to trust me. I'm going to ask you to give me your emotions. I'm going to ask you to give me your heart. I'm going to ask you to give me your fears. I'm going to ask you to trust me with that as I lead you through this journey that I've crafted for us tonight. Because at the end, I promise that I have something for you that I think will prove to be a great gift and extremely comforting in a place and a time when there seems so little real comfort to be had. What an amazing show we had last week with Abby Martin of Breaking the Set, RT's Breaking the Set. The show has been blasted all over Facebook. As far as I know, it's had more plays than any other show we've ever done. It's still getting played popularly. She is an amazing warrior out there, and I was reminded, she reminds me very much of a quote from Carl Sandburg's six-volume biography of Abraham Lincoln. And it was during some of the darkest days of the Civil War, back in about 1863, and there was this young general way out in the West fighting near Vicksburg in Mississippi, named Ulysses Grant, who was known to be an alcoholic, drank a lot, a reprobate, known to be sometimes, well, he was not your orthodox fluff, cut and dried, polished General Meade or General McClellan. And Lincoln promoted him over all generals of the army because there was a severe unwillingness up on the part of the Union Army at the time to get its stuff together and engage in a war that had to be fought. And Lincoln took all this criticism from his cabinet, from society in Washington, D.C., that Grant was a reprobate, blah, 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 blah. And Lincoln ended all of the discussion and all of the debate when he just turned and looked at everybody, and he just said about Ulysses Grant, he fights. And Abby Martin fights, and she's standing up, and she's doing a great job. And that's resonating with a lot of people. I want to thank her for being on the show. Okay, let's go. Let's get into this. Let's do this. Let's ruck up and do the walk here. Tonight, tropical cyclone, which is a hurricane, Phelan, has hit India yesterday. It was a Cat 4 with winds of 140 miles an hour, as big as Katrina, almost. 800,000 people that we know so far have been evacuated, and according to some reports, 12 million people need to be evacuated. The weather anomalies. The bizarre weather continues all over the planet tonight, unabated. And if there is not a major earthquake within the next 3 days, Fukushima's next big challenge will be a tropical storm or the typhoon that is now making its way up the coast, heading toward the coast of Japan. It's Tropical Storm WIPHA, W-I-P-H-A. There's a link to that on my Facebook page. The track shows this tropical storm, this hurricane, whether it's going to be a typhoon or not. Very big, carrying lots and lots of water, heading straight for the east coast of Japan and Fukushima, and that's Fukushima's next big challenge. We have heard a number of times recently that there is a 98% certainty, people like Arne Gundersen, others have quoted it, of a major seismic event off the coast of Fukushima. or at Fukushima within the next 2 years, a 98% certainty. At Fukushima, there are water leaks everywhere, and they are increasing. The whole thing is springing leaks, both through incompetence and failure of cheap equipment and money-saving techniques and skill sets that are not suited. At least one cooling tower, has cracked and is loosening from its braces and supports. It's ready to fall on building 3 or 4, depending upon which direction it falls. It might fall, of course, in a safe direction, but to have a cooling tower fall on building 4, cooling towers are essential to clean the gases that are coming out from the spent fuel pools from 1, 2, and 3 down where the China syndromes have occurred. The soil in Fukushima is continuing to erode, degenerate, and liquefy. Radiation levels are rising everywhere all around in the region. They are now at 2-year highs and increasing as more and more lies on the part of the government and Japanese media are disclosed every day. Japan and TEPCO are losing control, while, and this is very significant, and I noted it this week, there has been zero news about any international response to Japan's request for assistance, which Japan has now made 2 or 3 public requests for international assistance. And I haven't seen any news anywhere that any cavalry is rushing to the rescue. There is a profound message in that. And I'm reading increasing signs that no attempt will be made to remove the fuel rods from Unit 4 at all, meaning they will sit there until an earthquake brings the building down. An earthquake or a typhoon or shifting earth or the building just collapses of its own rickety self. ENE News reported this week what I caught, as I reported on a very large post on Facebook this week from a New York symposium, which was attended by Naoto Kan and Arne Gunderson and Gregory Jasko. ENE News reported on this, and I spent several hours watching that this week, and Gregory Jasko has flat stated that it may not be possible to remove the fuel rod, and the silence of the international response leads me to believe, and I strongly believe this, I have concluded this is probably the case, that no attempt whatsoever will be made to remove the fuel rods from 4. Which means that the building itself will be supported by prayers and the will or the mystery of Mother Nature, the weather, this planet that we are really discovering and seeing and experiencing now is so many times much more powerful than anything we could possibly hope to be. And then from Nation of Change website today, here's this post. As if the world needed another catastrophe of Fukushima proportions, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission has just announced that it expects another 3,900 employees to be furloughed this week due to budget shortages. This comprises more than 90% of the agency's workforce, and these are the people who are charged with making sure that more than 100 nuclear reactors spread across 63 sites in the U.S. remain safe, and we know that many of them are failing. So here's my question. How long are we willing to live like this? How long are we willing to live with this sword of Damocles, the blade of the guillotine, the weight, this tension living over our heads? When do we realize that we have nothing left to lose? What does it take? Well, it's, you know, pretty soon it's going to be self-evident to everybody, but I think to many of us now, it is apparent. And I discussed this more than, you know, way back in February of 12, as people like I and Guy McPherson and many others came to the awareness that we are past the point of human redemption. There is no, in the 3D Cartesian world, there are no solutions, but now we are at the point where all of that, where most of that stuff is hitting us right squarely in the face. The Piper is here. But how long? How long do we put up with this stuff living and all of the worries about everything else that's going on? Everything is failing around us. As we move through the week, and I would encourage you to keep an eye through Weather Underground or any other site about Tropical Storm Whiphaw. It should be on Fukushima by Tuesday or Wednesday. and it's going to dump a God knows amount of rain on the site, let alone the wind, and we have those towers in danger. So we need to watch this again continually, as if our lives are hanging in the balance, because, in fact, they are. Now, there's some other big developments here, and all of this has been leading to very profound spiritual stuff. And I'm going to ask you to walk this walk with me, fast campers. I'm going to ask you to look this stuff in the eye, and no matter how painful it is, to take it into your gut, because there is a passage that I hope that we can make throughout the course of this show tonight. Earlier in the week, a key creditor, China, who is the largest holder of U.S. Treasury bills, has been taking financial measures on the markets to hedge against the U.S. default. That was from RT. In other words, the run on the dollar one way or another has already started because, well, we'll finish this, because just tonight Jenna Orkin sent a story out that will show up on CollapseNet's World News Desk tomorrow. Tyler Durden, the infamous Tyler Durden at Zero Hedge. China's official press agency calls for new reserve currency and new world order. And these developments prompted me to write this comment on Facebook this week, and I ask you to pay attention to this, because this is leading to the outer rooms before we move to the Holy of Holies in the center. This is leading us into the spiritual place that we need to enter into and pass through before we can come out the other side at the end of the show. With regard to the collapse of the dollar and the U.S. government, the default, and everything that's going on, I wrote, this is hugely significant because it is a warning blast across the bow of the U.S. government. It's all a confidence game, truly. If the world loses confidence in the dollar, all hell breaks loose. And once the financial markets break free from the dollar, there is no putting them back in the barn. Now, you may be unaware enough to believe that, well, there'll just be maybe some new currency, but no. There may be moves to other currencies, but only for the very brief time that it will take to realize that money doesn't mean jack shit. What matters is physical reality. What matters is who can eat. What matters is who can breathe. What matters is who can stay warm. And what matters is who has fresh water. And it follows, therefore, that there will then be, once the dollar is toppled, and it must be, and I cheer it when it happens, but two options for mankind. The first will be to degenerate completely into dog-eat-dog bloodshed. Bloodshed without end. Take what you need, physical force. Screw the paperwork. The second will be to cooperate. Two choices. The second will be to cooperate with one consciousness and one will and one heart, all 7 billion of us. That's it. This is it. This is it. Those times that we have for so long talked about and anticipated are here. And that places us at where we need to be to begin our journey into a spiritual transformation. As we move through the week, well, there was a clip that went up on my Facebook page a couple days ago, Tom Hartman of RT. And I've been a guest on Tom's show 3-4 times over the last decade or so. He was in Portland, Oregon. And, you know, he was an okay guy, and he did good stuff. But this tape that he put up this week, it was a promotional tape for a new movie that he's done. That is uncomfortably reminiscent of the fraud Al Gore's film, Inconvenient Truth. And in this clip, it's a beautifully produced, high production value, emotional tug on the heart plea that everybody in the world right now should drop everything and start to convert to alternative energies. And I'm sure that there are lots of stockholders connected with Al Gore and the Democratic Party that are just waiting to hear that. But here's what I wrote after watching Tom Hartman's clip, because it was hugely, hugely flawed, because that's all he talked about. And he changed some numbers conveniently from Guy McPherson's 2030 near-term extinction, which is what the good science shows, to 2047, as if there's more time to dawdle and invest. But here's what I wrote. what Tom suggests here does not solve the problem in any way, shape, or form. The problems are Fukushima and climate collapse. The problems are the failure of all of human industrial civilization. So what Tom suggests doesn't solve the problem. And presented as a false and incomplete solution, it is extremely dangerous and it is ill-considered. Now, here's a story. One day an alcoholic walks into a doctor's office. Now, alcoholics are not known for rational behavior a lot of times. His head is bandaged, he's bleeding, he's carrying a bloody hammer in his hand, and he says to the doctor, "Doctor, it hurts when I hit myself in the head with this hammer. Can you help me?" The doctor looks at him and says, Stop hitting yourself in the head with a hammer." The alcoholic walks out of the office shaking his head and takes another whack, boom, saying, "God, there's got to be another way." The cause of runaway global warming, Tom Hartmann, and all of the people who are pandering ineffective solutions, is the emission and the release of carbon into the atmosphere. The largest cause of that release is first and foremost the human industrial paradigm of infinite growth. Therefore, if we want to survive, the first imperative is to halt all industrial activity right now. Stop hitting ourselves in the head with the hammer. Shut down the factories, shut down the coal mines, shut down the agribiz corporations that feed us 10 calories of hydrocarbon energy for every calorie of junk food produced on our planet. Shut down everything or almost everything that emits or releases carbon on an industrial scale. Your Priuses mean nothing. Your bumper stickers mean nothing. Your solar panels mean just a little. Your wind means just a little. They do not confront the cause of climate change, which is emitting more and more carbon every year into the atmosphere than ever in history, because human population is still growing exponentially. Because that's what the infinite growth monetary paradigm demands. Focusing all attention on conversion to alternative energies is futile unless we first stop hitting ourselves in the head with the hammer, unless we stop exponential growth. All that would do, according to laws like Jevons' paradox, which is a great law, which says that as soon as you invent a device that saves electricity, it means that more electricity will be used because people now think they're using less and they sell more gadgets to consume. It's a law. So all that would do is permit us to hit ourselves on the head with the hammer just a little while longer. Is that what you want, Tom? There are 1 billion plus internal combustion powered vehicles on the planet. Their use needs to be immediately and rapidly curtailed. Air traffic needs to be reduced by 90% or so. Rail traffic must be cut to absolute essentials. All mining and fracking operations must be stopped immediately. Industrial cattle ranching must be stopped, since cow farts are the second highest producer of methane, known after rice paddies. I think methane release probably now from frozen tundra and seabeds may have blown these two out of the water, but we don't know that yet. Coal-fired plants must be shut down. Uranium enrichment, a prolific emitter of carbon, must be stopped immediately. It's a long, long list. To take any other approach is to condemn us all to extinction, because we will never have addressed the cause of the problem. As great people like Robert Hirsch of SAIC, the infamous Hirsch Report in 2005, have shown, humans have passed every opportunity to make a painless or less painful switch. You seem to be implying that we have the 30 to 40 years needed to make a conversion without dislocation. Well, bullshit. And if you cannot see that you are more dangerous than Barack Obama, Jamie Dimon, or the Koch brothers, you pose as our friend. You're an alcoholic looking for a way to keep us drinking, and you're telling us it's okay to do that. So, Tom, as much respect as I had for you, you just gave us a death sentence until you acknowledge that the first priority is the immediate cessation of industrial civilization. And what about the 25 positive feedback loops? Next time we talk to Guy McPherson, it'll probably be 30, that have already been triggered and documented by Guy McPherson. You didn't mention those, or the really more scientifically precise and valid date for human near-term extinction of 2030. That's, of course, unless Building 4 falls over in 3 days or 4 days, or with that hanging over our heads. until you change the way money works, you change nothing. The way money works is to place infinite growth and profit as the supreme commandment, the prime directive, overriding all other issues. And if we keep doing what we're doing, we're going to keep getting what we're getting. And your solution was no solution at all except to make some profits for a bunch of Democratic financiers who have raped us over alternative energies and really done much more harm with them than good, but a lot of people got some money. So, Tom, you got a solid B for reaching people who might be waking up, yet you are just as dangerous as Alex Jones. You get an F minus minus for offering us any real solution that might save our lives by itself. You are a deceiver. If human industrial activity is the hammer we are killing ourselves with, you will not serve your fellow man until you find the courage and the honor and the integrity to tell us that we have to put down the hammer first at the same time as we convert to alternatives as quickly as possible, because by offering just the second half, we are not going to become 50% dead and 50% alive. Quote from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, half measures avail us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection, Spirit's protection and care with complete abandon. Half measures do not avail us 50% benefits. You can do so much better. Find your balls, Tom Hartman, or does your paycheck depend upon you not telling the truth and telling us it's okay to continue the binge of infinite growth? Now, as we come up to the break here, we might have to move. I've got two cuts, and we may have to play those in the second half, but we're coming up on a break. Let's see, because the first cut's kind of long, but this is where our spiritual journey ends. Begins for the fast campers tonight. I made a post this week. There's a lot of people waking up. I mean, my Facebook page activity has exploded, and there's a lot of people listening. And let me just tell you that I love you all, it's good to be in this uncomfortable place with you together. There was discussion about animals, and God, if we could only find a way to talk to animals. And I laughed because I'm just a student of indigenous ways, but I practice them, and there are people who respect me because I practice them. I live the life and as best I can, and I walk the walk. I don't claim to be a prophet. I'm a student. But those who follow indigenous ways have the ability to communicate with animals now, even now. And this is so much a part of the message I've been trying to carry for so long. All the animals, plants, the waters, the earth, the sky, and the four winds, all they want to do is help us. Even now, all things that exist on this planet love us without condition. They want to help us. They have never, ever stopped loving us. And now we come to the doorway of this great sickness, which is reaching its culmination, its final days, here on Mother Earth. There is a truth that I discovered and was very well known by people who did 12-step work thoroughly, which is just the most beautiful spiritual vehicle to like plugging into a wall socket to find spiritual power and a change of spiritual consciousness, which is the only thing that can save us now. It's a difficult thing to realize you are loved without condition, and things love you with all of their heart. And over years of my own work and years of sponsoring many men, there was a truth that came up. It said, if you love me more than I love myself, I will have to destroy you because the pain is too great. I can't deal with the cognitive dissonance of me walking around with the knowledge that I am a flawed human being who has harbored shadows that I have tried hard to face in the 30 years I've been walking a spiritual path. But if you love me and I carry those shadows inside, then I got to destroy you. And isn't that the way? I ask not about whether you reason it or not. Just take a look at the world. Is that not the way that we are behaving toward everything on this planet? Our habitat, our ecosphere, the animals, the plants, the trees, the water, everything. Are we not isn't it apparent that we are trying to destroy everything? And which brings up the Carl Jung thing, mankind will resort to all kinds of horrible, atrocious, cruel behaviors to avoid facing our own shadow. I'm faced with a dilemma here, so I'm going to make a command decision. I'm going to take the station break before the bottom of the hour. But now, all of you fast campers, I'm going to ask you to enter into a spiritual space, because when we come back, I'm going to play a 12-minute clip. And I want you to walk through this clip listening to every word of it with both of your eyes, to not turn your mind off. And I want you, as you hear the clip that's coming, to put yourself into it and to identify and to claim every darkness that you hear in there. Yes, I've been there. Yes, I've done that. Yes, I've felt that way. Yes, I have. And many of us have, because that's how we find out the way we don't want to be, so that's good. But we need to, because this is where it's all going to come out good at the end. You got to trust me, fast campers. But take this journey like a warrior. Be willing to stand up and to face every shadow with me as we play this song that we're going to play right after we take a station break right now. This is Michael C. Rupert, Tracker of Truth, with you on the Lifeboat Hour on the Progressive Radio Network. We'll be back right after this. Michael C. Rupert, Tracker of Truth, back with you on the Lifeboat Hour here on PRN-FM, Sunday the 13th of October, 2013. Okay, now it's time to do the adult grown-up work. And I found this absolute, amazing, brilliantly written cut, 12 minutes long. And I'm going to ask each of you to walk through every word of this with me and to listen to it and feel it and let it resonate and feel at the times that you need to the slippery, slimy, ugly darkness of it all, and recognize that we have all walked there. None of us is without sin. Most of us have, especially here, have freed ourselves from this, but this is the place that we don't want to go, but we have to acknowledge it is a place that we have been, because only when we acknowledge where we are right now will we be able, possibly, to find our way to something better. The song, it's not a song, it's a cut. It's called The Roach Motel at the End of the Universe. The artist's name is visible, so put on your hazmat clothes and let's take a walk through the slime of this world so that we can see perhaps what's on the other side. Let's go.
Dakota oil debacle. Part of your mind, or someone's mind, says that every one of these creatures should be rounded up and put on trial, followed by the quick and speedy execution of capital punishment, or life in prison without hope of parole. That includes the oil men performing it, the politicians permitting it, the oversight and enforcement agencies ignoring it, those explaining it, and those only concerned with milking the greatest rent from their railroad flat apartments, greasy spoons, and whatever side of the road cash hijacking machines they've set up to wring some temporary vermin profit from it can be left to the fate of vermin once the plunder leaves town and all that remains are wide wastes where nothing grows and deep bits of wet, stinking, death-assured, hot weather swimming pools for their stunted, hillbilly, heroin-addicted children. Corollary incidentals always appear in tandem with these things, and even members of the socio-political retard army can see the connection. But what's the fun or profit in that? Isn't it just better to let this shit go on and get all righteous and weepy about the back end, drowning in a rain of hypocritical tears as you bemoan the loss of so many things caused by global hand warmers at football games? The people doing these things are the spiritual offspring of serial killers and mass murdering psychopaths. They know what they're doing and they know what happens. But it just doesn't matter, and maybe at this point, it doesn't. Most of the population is in bed with it on some level. Some are just sleeping in better accommodations. Some of them have even had their own idea of environmental awareness and a love of nature, and some of them are into consciousness-improving retreats where they can take a few minutes to rationalize it all and come to peace with it. Of course, whether it comes to peace about it with them is another story. Once the sleepwalking, wide-load, expando-pants, shit-for-brains consumer zombies can really, absolutely no longer put food on their families, and the ones who haven't yet been matriculated to another world by their murderous and insane progeny, or the temporary berserker status of the head of the household, or some relative come back from foreign killing fields who can't live with themselves or you anymore. Once it finally dawns on them, and they have to go live in their car and they can't afford the gas to run the heater in their car when winter comes in order to take a nice carbon monoxide nap prior to a morning that never arrives, when they meant, with all good intentions, to head down to the Slurpee factory to see if they were taking on part-time day laborers, it's possible. It's possible that enough of them will get together and storm their houses of government and drag the toads, lampreys, and pigs from their paneled offices and dispense the justice they should have gotten a long time before. But there's no telling how it will all sort out. It won't sort out well in most places. That's pretty much a given. Those who are getting just what they deserve from the government they deserve will keep right on nodding their heads like plastic bobbing flamingos on eyeball glasses, while whatever infernal alien in chief that runs their slice of idiocracy drones on and on about recovery and a return to the good life they never had to begin with. All the now human-sized ticks operating as bureaucratic functionaries and assholes with guns and clipboards will be going around and knocking on doors, exercising edicts and informing the residents that one more thing they took for granted and once considered a right has now become illegal. Not only has it become illegal, but the law will clearly state that they should have known what they didn't know, and at least one member of the household is now to be dragged out onto the front lawn and impaled on a flaming spike as a warning to their neighbors. It's not like they don't lack the courage and conviction at some level, because just as soon as whatever Zaya Ogre entity who runs the joint tells their leaders that some country, somewhere, has to be turned into a smoldering open-air graveyard, they will and do gladly deliver their children to the task. Heck, if they're still in any kind of shape, given they have no job anyway, they'll go too. Meanwhile, the wife can run some kind of hot sheet split-level home to cover whatever taxes and penalties might ensure, for whatever reason, the thieves in power create to acquire it. This probably sounds like satire or sarcasm to some and terrorism to others, but it's all true. It might look and play out a little differently, but the results will be the same, and something very like all of it is going on all over the place right now. Or maybe you can't see that. That is altogether possible. You won't be hearing about it where you get your news, and you won't be reading about it here. I'm sure the heinous empires of Rockefeller and Rothschild, along with all those other names so well known to some of us, would have long ago met their well-deserved fates at the hands of the mob, possibly even the hands of a creative, patient, and fiendishly ingenious mob, except for the magic powers they wield that keep their lizard skin bodies intact. It doesn't take a whole lot of inquiry and imagination to figure out they have the protection of certain entities, brought forth by bloody rites and rituals of human sacrifice, small children preferred, to maintain their diabolical activities. Most of this is low-end shit, but we live in a low-end yuga, so that all makes sense. Every member of the Walking Wounded probably knows by now that Wall Street and the city are a cancer as great as anything Fukushima might deliver, and that they run the governments, and that whatever the governments have been doing to them comes at the order of these demon cabals. It would never have gotten this far if so many people hadn't wanted to become lawyers in their employ, hired guns for their protection, doctors in their service of disease, scientists in the service of plague, eugenics and euthanasia, office workers who produce and ferry all manner of official paper for the promise of a particular paper, confinement specialists who would rather be out than in, even though their confinement is just defined in another way. It wouldn't have gotten as far if most of the entertainers, artists, writers, musicians, and self-deluded victims of bad inspiration hadn't decided the best career move was to sell out the promise of everything that they might have been and done for a corporate tattoo on their ass, which they can display to the world during their moments of buggery and bacchanalia in the ultimate public performance art that all of this leads to. There's nothing like state and culturally sanctioned masturbation that you can do anywhere at any time because, baby, you have that right, and you don't have to worry about drawing a crowd. They will be there and just as turned on as you are. Thousands of cell phone cameras will be clicking or videotaping, and ZioTube will be waiting, just anticipating. Well, you won't have to worry about all the things you never ever will possess, because possession is assured. This is the time of the habitation of demons, and everyone gets to be a timeshare or a permanent resident, although the former doesn't usually exist unless you get real fucking lucky. Step right up. Yeah, everybody's a winner. Don't ask why the rings don't go over the bottles or the ball doesn't go into the net. They wouldn't call it a trick if you could see what was happening. What do you know? Isn't that Lady Gaga on the carnival speakers? They've all come to see the freaks. Well, no worries there. Freaks you will have, especially when night falls. She doesn't call them little monsters for nothing, nor will little be the case. Sure, satire, sarcasm, or terrorism as you prefer, it all becomes something different anyway when you check into the Roach Motel at the end of the universe, and you don't have to go any real distance. There's one real close by. It's a franchise, and that's just what they call it. Something like putting the glimmer of romance on your already bought and sold ass. They don't really need to do that. You already gave it up without romance ever entering into the equation. But while there's still time for you to wake up and get pissed off, and still time for you to do something about it, certain forms of crowd control will be employed, even if only inside your head. You should know, though, that that's not all you're going to get. You do have to remember, they don't do it just for profit. They do it for the entertainment, too. All you need to think about is what you imagine they need, want, and require from you in that regard. We'll take a look at the way you came and what happened around you on the way. Even if it didn't happen to you yet. Even if it didn't get around to you yet. Read a little history about other times like these. And keep in mind that this is the time when they really let all those potentials and appetites loose. You won't have to think too hard about what that means. You won't have to worry too much about waking up or sleeping through it either. There's not nearly as much fun in it for them, unless they can wake you up to be part of the experience, if that is all the awakening you prove capable of.
If that is all the awakening you prove capable of. That cut you can find on YouTube, The Roach Motel at the End of the Universe. The artist's name is Visible. That was about as dark a place as I could take you tonight, and that's a place where we need to go, because it's not until we go through the darkness that we can find a doorway to lead us to something else. In other pieces of news, before I begin to bring us out of this little journey we have done tonight, this little medicine journey, there's some other news here that I should bring up. The New York Times this week, I actually put a story up on the New York Times mobile. By 2047, the coldest years may be warmer than the hottest years ever recorded in the past. It's getting out. I mean, the awareness is penetrating slowly of all of the things that have been set in motion, which are now banging on the door for our attention. And then another story this week that came up, the seawater outside of Fukushima's Daiichi reactors registered radiation levels on Wednesday that were 13 times the readings from Tuesday. That's what TEPCO announced on Thursday. The combined cesium-134 and cesium-137 readings jumped to 1,200 becquerels per liter. That's one atomic degeneration per second. That's 1,200 in a liter of water on Wednesday, the highest levels recorded since late 2011. We also had this week this is very much being talked about in the indigenous communities around here. The news has made that down here to Southern Colorado, but the news is also all over with the Pueblo and Navajo peoples. There's a lot of movement moving around. It was 100,000 cattle froze to death in a blizzard last Friday in South Dakota. And all the climate naysayers came up and said, well, ranchers didn't prepare, these storms happen, they should know better, blah, blah, blah. And yet we had postings on my Facebook page from actual ranchers who lived there saying that when the day ended, the cows were grazing on summer pastures. And when everybody woke up in the morning, there were several feet of snow and the cows had all frozen to death. There was no warning of this whatsoever. And this harkens back directly to Guy McPherson's statement that not only the planet itself, the plants that we need to live cannot migrate quickly enough to adapt to unpredictable and unstable climate change, the animals can't either. And maybe this will drive home the lesson that we are all connected, we are all one life. If the plants and the animals die, we die. It's that obvious. And tragedies like this are happening. Now, that's a way of wiped out 100,000 head of cattle. Of course, we're going to see some price in beef prices. But we have seen Mother Nature in this act alone eliminate one of the most grievous producers of carbon on the planet. But it is a very serious message. This news has traveled all over the West where cattle ranches abound. And it's gotten everybody's attention, as have a few other things. Now, I have for a long time studied and read prophecies, my brothers and sisters, as we sit in this dark place together, as we have looked at ourselves and identified with past sins, identified with past feelings. We have seen in our little 12-minute journey that we just had, that we are connected to all of this. And this is the world in which we live. This is the lowest yuga. This is what we expect here. And I followed prophecies for a long time. and I've studied them, and I've watched a great many videos on indigenous prophecies. And I have not spent a great deal of time bringing them up here on this show, because I found quite often, and I'm sure any carrier of an indigenous prophecy, whether it be Mayan or Hopi or Lakota or whoever, anywhere in the world, understands there's a reason why in indigenous ways they call the Creator the Great Mystery. There are many aspects of many prophecies that resonate, that are consistent with each other, and that's been a theme that I've been pursuing. I had hopes of maybe doing that with a TV show or a two-hour special. And that's what you pay attention to. And as we look at the world around us, I have to say that there is now quite a bit of talk about a couple of astronomical things that are happening. One of which is in multiple places around the globe, from Scotland and other places, it depends upon where you are to be visible. There's a lot of reports showing up of two suns being visible in the sky at different times of the day. Now, I am sorting through a lot of videos because what I want to do is find one that just shows the visual evidence without a lot of superimposed, whether it's fundamentalist Christian or whatever kind of dialogue over that. We will hearken back, though, to the Sumerian stories of the planet, the sun Nibiru, which is a second sun, a binary sun, which now actually appears to be manifesting in the sky in various parts of the world. I'm going to spend the next few days trying to sort through that so that I can bring you better information, but that's there. We know about the comet Ison, which in many prophecies is being interpreted, and I've just heard this as of yesterday from a spiritual teacher who is in touch with Navajo and Hopi people, that astronomers are moving all over mountaintops and mesas in the U.S. Southwest with telescopes, because the Red Kachina and the Blue Kachina are apparently now becoming visible. To paraphrase briefly about Hopi prophecy, and I emphasize that I am not a Hopi, I am a journalist, I am an academic, but I have studied this, and I know that these prophecies make sense. And as I look at the world around us right now, the world of shit that is around us, I say, well, it's kind of making sense. In essence, what I am hearing is that the Blue Kachina will be making an appearance within a few weeks, and that's the last warning. You can Google Blue Kachina and read for yourself. When the Red Kachina comes following, that will be the purification. That will be the time of the burning and the cleansing away that has been prophesied for so many years. Fragments carried meticulously with great love by indigenous peoples, preserved generation after generation, appear to be bearing for us a great deal of truth, which is relevant to our experience now. And it places us in a position where we, as human beings, are in a place where there's really nothing left for us but to ask for mercy and forgiveness. And speaking my own spiritual experience, I have always had much, much more response from spirit when I ask for mercy and forgiveness than when I ask for justice. So now, my brothers and sisters who have walked with me through this darkness, as we sit with the robe of the pain and the ugliness that we have looked at and we have acknowledged that we are a part of and have been a part of, knowing that we don't want it, we are now in a position to ask humbly for mercy. And I'm going to play now this amazing Lakota spiritual healing song. It's called Humble Pity on Me, or Lakota Spirit Medicine Song, which is a peyote song, but it is a song that a Plains Indian, a Lakota, would sing when he asked and he wanted pity, when he understood, he or she understood that the time had come, and wanted to reach out to the plants, the animals, the birds, the trees, Mother Earth, the water, the sky, that has always loved us unconditionally and has been waiting for us to arrive at this place of humility. The lines are very simple. Wani wachiyelo ate omakiayo. which means, Father, help me, I want to live. And you'll hear the line, Ate nimichikon, nimichikon, Father, have you done this? Oshia chichielo, humbly have pity on me. And in this beautiful song that I would ask us all to pray with and to sit together with, you'll hear a little bit of guitar in there. And just for those of you who are music lovers, the guitar is played by Robbie Robertson of the band. Let's hear Medicine Song, Humble Pity on Me.
Thank you.
Find that song, Lakota Spirit Medicine Song, on YouTube, and it's beautiful. And I've played it probably 10 or 15 times in the last few days, because I have reached a point to where I can see. Well, I mean, look, if it comes down to a point where the blue kachina and the red kachina are in the sky, or Fukushima falls over, or climate collapse comes and gets us, you won't need me anymore, and you know, we will all be faced with our own places and our own hearts. And there is power in that. It can bring us together. It won't fix anything at all. We don't want to fix it. We just want to be right as we face it. And this show tonight I have dedicated to the fastest campers who have been here for a long time, all of the ones who I know are so much aware. The time is here. And I will come back with you next week, because as long as there's breath in my body and the phone's working, I'll be with you guys. This is Michael C. Rupert, Tracker of Truth, and let us walk with our heads up and our hearts open in the week that comes. Good night.
It all happened so fast.